the projector need to be?
Oh, okay.
There you go. I was going to say, there sure is some language missing.
May it please the court, Mr. Rick Hagen will argue for appellant, Ms. Catherine Locke will argue for the state.
May it please the court. Appellant was convicted of online solicitation of a minor, which at the time was a state jail felony. He was sentenced to 180 days confinement in a state jail facility without community supervision. His sentence has since been discharged, and he is not subject to any parole conditions. Because he's not subject to parole as a result of the state jail felony conviction, the Court of Criminal Appeals opinion 2 weeks ago in Ex parte Campbell, which dealt with the authority of the parole board to impose sex offender related terms as a condition of parole, is not applicable. The only authority for the trial court, the only requirement that appellant register as a sex offender came from the trial court's order, which imposed that requirement. Appellant challenged the trial court's imposition of sex offender registration at the trial court level. That challenge was denied, and this appeal followed. Appellant bases his argument on the premise that at the time he was convicted, the law did not authorize the trial court to impose sex offender registration at all. Now, appellant bases that argument on the legislative history behind the online solicitation of a minor statute. And you have to focus on two bills that were passed in 2005. The first bill, House Bill 867, did not enumerate online solicitation as a reportable offense. Second bill, House Bill 2228, did. It's our position that those two bills are irreconcilable, and because they're irreconcilable, the last bill standing is the one we focus on. And the last bill enacted was House Bill 867. Because we contend that the punishment, that is the requirement of registration, was unauthorized, we argue that that offends due process. And the state does not contest that premise, that premise being that an unauthorized punishment offends due process. Rather, the state takes the position that those two bills are in fact easily reconcilable. And what I'd like to do this morning is focus the remainder of my time showing you why the state's argument fails. The state's argument asserts that House Bill 2228 made a single substantive change by adding online solicitation of a minor as one, a penal offense, amended the penal code, and second, that it made a single substantive change to the Code of Criminal Procedure by enumerating online solicitation of a minor as a reportable conviction. And the state in their brief at page 5 acknowledges to indicate this change, the legislature was compelled to, quote, reenact the entire statute as it was before the amendment. As it relates to House Bill 867, which made numerous substantive changes to the language in Chapter 62, the state again acknowledges to signify these changes, the legislature was again required to reenact the entire statute. And so the state's argument is simple. Over here on House Bill 2228, where they enumerate what was the pre-existing statute, the state's saying that, that's not intended to be a change. When they relist or regurgitate the language that was pre-existing, they're required to reenact that. And then when you have a separate bill that addresses the same thing, if all they did was merely reenact the pre-existing language, you can ignore that and then merge the two bills together. And that argument is exactly correct. Exactly correct. The foundation of the state's arguments: both bills were required to reenact the statute. And that's based on Texas Constitution Article 3, Section 36. And if both bills did what the state says they do, the state would absolutely win this case. If both bills did that. The problem is House Bill 2228 did not reenact the entire statute. The language that says the statute is reenacted is missing. And if you'll look at House Bill 2228, I've attached that as Appendix B in appellant's brief. And if you'll turn to Appendix B, the second page of that appendix is where I'd like you to focus. And the page in the session laws is 4050. It's towards the bottom where it says Section 2. And that language says Article 62.015 Code of Criminal Procedure is amended to read as follows. And then it lists the language, which was pre-existing, and it adds subsection N on the second page. Now, if you compare that to House Bill 867, which is in Appendix C, and if you turn to Appendix C, on the second page at the very top, it says Chapter 62, Code of Criminal Procedure, is reenacted and amended to read as follows. And I will tell you, had House Bill 2228 included the language "is reenacted and amended," the state would win this case. But the bill omitted the language "is reenacted." Going back and focusing on House Bill 2228, Section 1 is not affected. Section 1 is the portion of that bill that made online solicitation of a minor a penal offense. And that portion of the bill is perfectly fine. It's Section 2 that's the problem. Section 2, because it did not reenact and amend, presents the issue before us. Because it did not reenact and amend, the court has to consider the entirety of the language in House Bill 2228 and the entirety of the language in House Bill 867. And when you do that, you absolutely cannot merge or reconcile those two statutes. And because you cannot reconcile them, the bill that was last enacted is the one that we have to use.
Your argument is we can't reconcile them because the words "is reenacted" are not included in one, and they are included in another?
That's correct, Judge. Because if you look at the body of 2228 and the body of 867 and you try to merge them, you cannot, if you consider the body of 2228 as live language, language that you have to give effect to. State's argument is ignore everything in 2228 and only consider the live language in 867, and if you accept that argument, then yes, you can reconcile. It can be done, but in order for it to be done, 2228 was required to reenact the language, not amend it. Because when it said amend, that means we're wanting to change. We're wanting this language to have substantive meaning to be carried forward. And I'm going to tell you, the legislature recognized the argument that we're making because in 2007, they changed it. In 2007, with House Bill 3167, the legislature specifically repealed Section 2 of House Bill 228. In an Appendix D, we've included House Bill 3167, and on the third page of that appendix, which in the session laws was page 3029, it says Section 2, Chapter 1273, Acts of the 79th Legislature, Regular Session 2005, which amended former Section 5, Article 6201, Code of Criminal Procedure, is repealed. And then at the beginning of that very bill, on the second page, page 3028 of the session laws, it specifically references my argument, and it says that the Code of Criminal Procedure, as renumbered from former 62015 Code of Criminal Procedure and amended by Chapter 1008, Acts of the 79th Texas Legislature, is reenacted and amended to conform to the former law. And so it's that language in 2228, the missing language where it reenacts the statute, that creates the issue. And I'll tell you, just as a footnote here, House Bill 867, when it's referred to in subsequent session laws, is referred to as Chapter 1008 of the session laws, and House Bill 2228 is referred to by referencing Chapter 1273 of the session laws. But it's easy to find that when they talk about chapters, they're referring to these specific bills.
Are we not allowed to take into account historical fact? I mean, isn't it a fact, or wouldn't you agree it's a fact that Chapter 62 was reenacted, although the statute itself, House Bill 867, doesn't use those words?
Can you say that again, Your Honor?
Is it not true that HB 867 did constitute a reenactment of HB 2228, even though the words weren't used? And can we not take that into account and
you're saying
to reconcile the two statutes? If I understand your argument correctly, that the reason these can't be reconciled is that one contains the reenactment language, the other doesn't.
Correct.
Then can we not take into account historical fact, that is, that there was a reenactment of this statute?
There was a,
in evaluating whether the statutes are reconcilable?
Okay. House Bill 867 is the one that did both. It reenacted and amended. But 867, when it reenacted, it made multiple substantive changes, and those substantive changes are irreconcilable with the language in 2228. So You can certainly acknowledge the fact, but when you apply it, it does not work.
Now, are you suggesting that the exercise we go to in attempting to reconcile two statutes is that we look for identical language in the statutes? Because that's not what I would think reconciling really means.
And I don't understand what you mean by
the
question.
Well, I mean, I may be misunderstanding your argument, but it sounds as if you're suggesting that because there's not some language in one statute that's in another, that they're irreconcilable. And I, you know, perhaps I've missed your point, but...
Okay. The language, when you're reconciling two statutes, they don't have to be identical. If they were identical, there would be no need to reconcile.
Correct.
Okay. Over here in 867, it made substantive changes in the law as it related to definitions, how they applied, whether deferred adjudication applied, the application of military law. Over here in 2228, there's differences in the language, but when you look at them, the same definitions that are in 2228 are different here, and you just cannot reconcile those whatsoever.
Mr. Hagan, thank you.
I have one more question. What was the effective date then on the statute that you believe corrected the error in 2007?
September 1st, 2007.
Okay, so that would be after the two offense dates on this case?
Yes, ma'am. The issue that this case presents only presents itself in a very small number of cases. That would be cases from 2005 to 2007, and then it's further restricted to only people who were convicted of state jail felonies where they did not get probation and they did not get parole. So it's a very fine number of cases we're dealing with.
Ms. Luft?
May it please the court? The state's position is that both of these House bills can be reconciled. And I agree with Your Honor, just the fact that one has reenactment on the top and the other doesn't affect the fact that one that they both reenact. The action is there, if not the word. And we've got House Bill 228, it adds online solicitation, is a reportable offense. House Bill 867 tweaks some of the existing language. They can be reconciled. This one doesn't have online solicitation as a reportable offense. But according to the Code Construction Act that the legislature put into place, there are three segments to provision that are important here. And I don't normally like to read to the court, but this language is important, and I'll do it very briefly. If amendments to the same statute are enacted at the same session of the legislature, one amendment without reference to another, and that encompasses this situation, the amendment shall be harmonized, if possible, if the legislature wants us to harmonize these amendments. Second part, in determining whether the amendments are irreconcilable, text that is reenacted because of the requirement of Article 3, Section 36, and we discussed that says that when you make amendments, you have to publish the whole section at length. And when the text is reenacted under that provision, it's not considered to be irreconcilable with additions or omissions, such as the omission in House Bill 867 of the online offense reportable as a reportable offense. And number third and last, unless clearly indicated to the contrary, an amendment that reenacts text in compliance with Section 36 does not indicate legislative intent that the reenacted text prevail over changes in the same text made by another amendment, regardless of the relative date of enactment. And similarly, the Court of Criminal Appeals in Rhodes v. State, and I've cited that in my brief, they held that two bills from the same legislative session were perfectly reconcilable when each made substantive changes that the other did not. And in appellant's brief, he argues he didn't have notice that it was the online solicitation was a portable offense. If you look at states, Appendix C to the state's brief, there's a copy of Vernon's 2006, the law, and it shows that online solicitation was clearly a reportable offense. And one thing, I didn't really address the due process claim in my brief. Last night I was kind of picking through. I pulled up a case from this court. It's unpublished, back in 2003. It's Thompson v. State, 2003, TexApp, Lexis 10-438. And that case held that the due process clause wasn't violated when the trial court didn't make a continuing threat determination, and the registration statute hadn't even been enacted at the time the appellant was convicted, but he received notice of it before he was released from prison and before he actually had to start registering. So for what that's worth, I just found that last night. And unless there are any questions, I will conclude.
Don't believe we have any. Thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
Real briefly, to emphasize the ambiguity that exists in the law, the 2005 and 2006 O'Connor's edition of the Criminal Code, if you turn to it, as it's addressing these exact issues, they have the little skull and crossbone insignia in the various places where we claim that the two statutes were irreconcilable. And, for instance, it says subsections H and I below were amended by House Bill 2228 without reference to the conflicting deletion and relettering made by House Bill 867. And it goes on and on, breaking down the statutes where they're irreconcilable. And
is it breaking down where they're irreconcilable or where they are in conflict, which is they can be in conflict but be reconcilable? I'm sure we have a copy of that. We can look at it ourselves, but I just wondered if you were using those two terms interchangeably.
I'm going to use the term irreconcilable, Your Honor, and the reason I am, because a conflict does not necessarily create a situation where the two bills are irreconcilable.
Right.
And the reason for that, if one statute's reenacted, for instance, let's take a murder statute. It lists the offense of murder, and then it adds murder of a six-year-old and makes that a capital offense. And then you've got a second bill that says if you murder a six-year-old in a certain circumstance, then that's an automatic life sentence. Now, that those two statutes, you could argue, conflict, but they're not irreconcilable. And so I recognize a conflict that does not create irreconcilability, but as it relates to the application of the sex offender registration provisions, there's absolute irreconcilability as it relates to whether a deferred adjudication applies or not. In one it does and in one it doesn't. And that's not only a conflict, but it's an irreconcilable conflict. And because we do have irreconcilable conflicts between 2228 and 867, you've got to go to the statute latter enacted. And because 2228 did not reenact, you've got to give effect to all of the language that's contained in that bill. Thank you.
But if we found that it did reenact, if we do find that it does reenact, you say the state wins.
If you find it reenacts, then you're gutting me. Okay, thank you.
Very interesting question. Appreciate both of you appearing here this morning to present your arguments. They're very helpful. The case is submitted, and we will recess for 10 minutes to make panel substitution change for the next case.
Thank you.